Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Big Ten Football Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Guggenheim. We're going to be responding to some hot takes about coaching rankings. I'm going to give my own coaching rankings for 2024. Make sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Specifically, follow us on Spotify, but also you can find us on Apple and Google. You can also find us on YouTube. Make sure to hit like and subscribe there as well. If you're on YouTube, you can see my lovely dog in the background who is just dead to the world right now. So she is napping peacefully, but we are going to get right into this coaching stuff. My apologies for not updating sooner. We've just had between health stuff and life stuff and technical difficulties. It's been a mess, but we're back. Hopefully better than ever. Of course, always you can catch me on the Big Ten Huddle 9 p.m. on Tuesdays, there's going to be a pretty big announcement coming. In fact, it probably has already been made as of the airing of this episode. But I digress. Coaching rankings. So there is a Twitter account, which I follow, the College Football Report. They were talking about ranking Big Ten head coaches going into next season. And I'm just going to be honest. It was bad. It was bad. And now before people are like, oh, he hates College Football Report. No. I just think sometimes we get things wrong and sometimes we don't consider other variables. And so as I was thinking about it, I was like, I just think this is wrong. I realized I don't really have a grasp on who I think the best coaches are this year. And part of the reason is because there's been so much transition and there's a lot of new faces, a lot of new head coaches. And so just if you go back a year ago, you know, Mel Tucker was at Michigan State. Tom Allen was at Indiana. Pat Fitzgerald was at Northwestern. Jim Harbaugh was at Michigan. And you didn't have any of the Pac-12 schools. And then at the Pac-12 schools that are coming in, Chip Kelly's gone. Kalen DeBoer's gone. So it's kind of a mess in terms of thinking about next year. And then also Lincoln Riley had his worst season as a head coach in his head coaching tenure. So just a lot of things that are moving in the Big Ten. And so as I was thinking through coaching rankings, I was like, man, this is hard. And so I give the guy who runs College Football Report, give him a lot of grace on this, but he's wrong. That's my conclusion. And so what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to go through line by line his and say what I actually have. And before I do that, I want to give you a little insight into how I'm thinking about this. I think a lot of these rankings that College Football Report put out is based on hype and is not grounded in resume. So I'll give you a good example. I think Kurt Cignetti is a great hire at Indiana. I think he's a great hire at Indiana. He has done nothing in the Big Ten. Done nothing in the Big Ten. And so until he proves he can hack it in the Big Ten, I'm not going to have him super high because he has not done it at the level he's going to need to. Just hasn't, right? I'm not going to have Sherrone Moore high. Not because I don't think he's a good hire. I think he could be great. He's either 3-0 or 4-0 with one of the best Michigan teams of my lifetime. And there's the whole asterisk thing, which again, I'm not going to get into. But the reality is he had a lot in terms of culture that was given to him. So I can't put him super high, right? David Braun, had a great year, but it was 1 year, right? So there's a lot where you're like, I just can't rank you super high because your resume is not exactly long. And so that's one thing. The other thing I want to point out is you have to have context for the program you're at. So for instance, and this will come up several times, the fact that Greg Schiano went 7-6 at Rutgers trumps, in my opinion, a lot of what other coaches have done, because to go 7-6 at Rutgers with the schedule that they had and to bring Rutgers to where they are now twice, he's done it twice now. Like, I'm sorry, there's a lot of weight to that. And that's quite honestly, I think, better than what Jonathan Smith has done at Oregon State before he jumped to Michigan State. I think it's better than what Jed Fish has done, even though he did have a really good year with Arizona. It was one good year, whereas Greg Schiano has a track record in two tenures to make a bottom feeder program decent to good. So I give a lot of weight to that. And you'll see that, I think, in my rankings here. So without further ado, we're going to start from bottom up. Bottom, so College Football Report and I have the same last place coach, and that's Deshaun Foster, UCLA. Deshaun Foster, he was a running back coach a year ago. I don't think is a bad hire, which actually, I'll be honest, I think the coaching pedigree of the Big Ten is very, very good. Like, I think it's really good. I think Deshaun Foster is the weak link. But even then, I don't think it's a super weak link. I think we'll see as recruiting goes on and whatnot. But I think he was put in a bad situation, right? Chip Kelly left, not at the ninth in the ninth hour, but or the 11th hour, but he didn't leave at the greatest time. And so Deshaun Foster is trying to pick up the pieces, but I think he's done a decent job so far. So again, it's the off season, but we're going to see more of him, and he'll have opportunity to move up the ranks. So we agreed on that. Number 17. He has Ryan Walters. I also have Ryan Walters. First year, 4-8. Had some high highs, some really low lows. They were not great, but the cupboard was also not exactly full. They lost a lot of their key players after Jeff Brohm left. They did have Hudson Card. They get him back for another year, which I think is big. I think the back end of their defense is going to be good. They've got a really good safety coming back. But again, he's unproven, right? He's in year two. This is where we disagree and disagree hard. Number 16, he has Greg Schiano of Rutgers. I do not have Greg Schiano at 16. I have him quite a bit higher. This is what I'm going to criticize. To have Greg Schiano at 16 feels like you're criticizing the program more than the head coach. Just being honest, I've seen other lists where Greg Schiano is 15 or 14, and I cannot understand how or why you put him there other than, well, he's got Rutgers next to his name, which quite honestly, if you look at the list in full that not just he has, but other guys have, you're like, oh, it's by program, not by coach. And it's ridiculous, quite honestly. Like, this is Greg Schiano twice has made Rutgers a bowl eligible team when they were at the bottom of the barrel, right? You go back to his first run, his first couple of years, it was 2-10, 1-10, And then still in the Big East, when they had Virginia Tech, when they had Miami, he got to 4 wins and then 5 wins. And then from 2005 to 2012, only once did he finish under 500. Now, I know the Big East was not as competitive when those, when Boston College and Miami and Virginia Tech all left. But when you have a culture of losing and you now all of a sudden you have a culture of winning, like, that's a big deal. And then they come to the Big Ten. And I mean, Chris Ash and Kyle Flood left that program a mess. I mean, awful. I mean, just worse than they, worse than before, I think. And now they're in the Big Ten, in the toughest division in college football for the past 4 years, right? And he got them to a bowl game last year. I don't know how you put him at 16. It's quite honestly, it's inexcusable. And again, there's a lot of grace. I get it. You know, you're trying to make these lists, but there is no way, shape, or form that Greg Schiano and what he's done makes him the third worst coach in the Big Ten. Sorry. That's just, it's not okay. So I have Kurt Cignetti at Indiana. Now, Indiana fans, you might be upset. I know he brings a lot of juice, right? Purdue sucks, and so does Ohio State and Michigan, right? That being said, Kurt Cignetti has not done anything on this level. He's been at JMU, had a great run at JMU, right? Got to a national championship game for FCS, got to the semifinals a couple times with James Madison. Really great hire. I think he will do very well. And he hasn't proven anything in the Big Ten yet. So we'll see. We'll see. He hasn't proven anything yet on the Big Ten level. So still, I think it's a phenomenal hire, but I just can't put him higher. So 15, he has David Braun, which I can respect because it's, you know, he had one good year at Northwestern. I can respect it, but if you're going to put some of the other guys higher without much juice, and you're going to put David Braun at 15, I think David Braun is actually a bit higher on this list too because of the one good year he had. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I do not have David Braun. I actually have Mike Locksley at 15. I think Mike Locksley is one of the overhyped coaches in the Big Ten. And I get that he has developed some guys. He's developed some NFL talent, which has been good. He's recruited decently. But I feel like every year I hear about how this is the year they're going to get to 10 wins. This is the year they're going to have a big win. This is the year. This is the year. And they always fall short. Like, I feel like they do a great job of being inconsistent. They do a great job of rising up to compete with the best teams in the Big Ten, and then they play to the level of their competition. And I don't have a lot of respect for it, quite honestly. Like, I think if you're going to be the coach that can upend the hierarchy of the Big Ten East, which is no longer a thing, but if you're going to be that guy, then you've got to actually get a win. And he never did. And like, he's, quite honestly, I think wasted a lot of talent, you know, with Tagovailoa, with the receiving core, with some like guys like Deontay Banks on the back end. He's wasted some really good talent to get a lot of 7-6, 8-5 seasons. And like, he's underachieved. And if you underachieve, I'm not going to rank you high. If you're like, what was that in the background? That was my dog. She's saying hello. If you want to say hello to Angel back, feel free to leave me an email, BigTenFootballTalk@gmail.com. 14, he has Mike Locksley. So we were fairly in agreement with Mike Locksley. I have PJ Fleck at 14. Again, I think he underachieves. He had one really good year with Tanner Morgan. Had a couple of 9-4 years, but I think PJ Fleck wasted opportunities. I think he wasted opportunities with, you know, with Ibrahim and the running back core that he had, the offensive line that he had. He lost to teams like Bowling Green, which he had no business losing to. And I feel like it's a pattern. It's a pattern of his coaching. And I think he's done good things there, but I feel like he's peaked. And I just don't think he's as good as maybe people say. So I think he's overrated, in my opinion. So I have PJ Fleck at 14. 13, he has Brett Bielema at Illinois. And I have Bielema quite a bit higher, again, because of resume. But I hesitated a little bit with him, and I'll get to that in a minute. I have Jed Fish at 13. So if you look at Jed Fish, you look at Washington, you know, or look at what Jed Fish has done. He was at Arizona for 3 years. 1-11, 5-7, 10-3, and finished 11th in the country. And you know, And they beat Oklahoma in a bowl game. A lot of guys opted out for Oklahoma. It's just hard to... It's hard for me to say that Jed Fish is a good option here, or is more than 13 here. And the reason why is because he's had one good year and he's only been a head coach for 3 years. Right? His first year was 1-11. So... can he build a program? I think so. You know, he's taken over a Washington program that's pretty depleted right now after the departure of Kalen DeBoer. But I am not a Jed Fish believer yet. I also don't exactly like how he left Arizona high and dry. I think the way he left was not exactly great. So that might be some personal bias, but I don't think he's proven much. He's had one good year. He's parlayed it into a better job and a better conference. So 12, Big Ten Report has Kurt Cignetti at Indiana. Again, I think it's a great hire. He just hasn't proven anything on the Big Ten level yet. So I can't put him there. I've shown more at 12. And again, great hire. Think it could be a great fit. Obviously won some big games at Michigan, beat Penn State at Penn State, beat Ohio State when everything was on the line, right? Those are big time games. And like, you have to give them credit there. So I rank that ahead of, you know, what other guys have done. Like Jed Fish had a whole year where he was better, but there's no pressure like winning a Michigan-Ohio State game to get in the playoff and to get to the Big Ten championship game. Like, sorry, there's a lot of weight that carries. But also, he's only won three or four games, I forget which one it is, and he has not had to lead a program by himself. Like Jim Harbaugh was there, like could be there during the week. He was still speaking to the program, right? So we don't know much about Sharon Moore, the head coach, full-time. We're going to find out a lot more. So I can't put him higher than a lot of these other guys on this list. So 11, he has PJ Fleck. I just don't think he's a good coach. And I think there's other guys that are better. Case in point, I think David Braun is better. I have him at 11. David Braun... you get a lot of credit from me. I know it's 1 year. You get a lot of credit from me, though, when you take a program that was as splintered as Northwestern, right? You lose a legend in Pat Fitzgerald. You're coming off a couple of really bad seasons. There seemed to be discord in the program. And you come out and you go 8-5. You beat Utah in a bowl game, who has been one of the best programs in the Pac-12 over the past 3 or 4 years. Like, I just think it's he has proven in a year that he can take some of the pressure. Now, how will he continue? I'm not sure. I think he has a lot of room to either fall or rise if he continues to build on that. I'm concerned about recruiting for him. But at this point, I think David Braun is head and shoulders above guys like PJ Fleck and Mike Locksley, if I'm honest. So I have David Braun at 11. Number 10, we are in agreement. We both have Jonathan Smith at Michigan State. I think it's a good spot for him. I think he was in a similar position to Greg Schiano. That Oregon State was kind of a dumpster fire when he got there, but he was able to revive it back to life, and he's made it a really good program. The one difference is the Pac-12 has not been as competitive, or I should say as strong of a league as the Big Ten. And so I think he kind of was able to get things done quicker. He didn't have a division of three top 10 teams every year to deal with. But I think Jonathan Smith, the last couple of years in particular, he's proven that he can build a program. And so I think that's a really good spot for him. 9, College Football Report has Sharon Moore. I think that could be a great, I think he could be really great. I just don't think you can put him there yet. I have Greg Schiano at 9. I think he deserves to be in the top half of the Big Ten. His resume is too great. And I think people who look at his resume and think, well, he's only won X amount of games. You are not looking at the context. Like, you put anyone else at Rutgers. Put Lincoln Riley at Rutgers. How's he going to do? Put Ryan Day at Rutgers. How's he going to do? Like, I doubt they do this well. Now, part of that is cultural fit. Like, I think Greg Schiano really thrives in that underdog role and that blue-collar workman mentality. But, like, man, what they're doing at Rutgers, and I think they're going to continue to grow and build, I think you got to give him his flowers. Like, if it were not for David Braun, he should have won Big Ten Coach of the Year last year. I totally get Braun getting it. And I think I said that he should get it. He absolutely deserved it. But Greg Schiano was a very close second. So number 8, we're only a little divided on this. He has Matt Rhule for Nebraska. I have Brett Bielema at Illinois. I think you could flip-flop him. I think Brett Bielema is, because he did not do well at Arkansas, I think people forget what he has done over the years. You know, he's won three Big Ten championships at Wisconsin. You know, his first 3 years at Illinois, you know, this year I think was disappointing, but I think people forgot, like, just how much they lost. Right, Tommy DeVito was starting games in the NFL. Their defensive secondary was just butchered because of losses to the NFL, right? 3 top 3 round picks. And they didn't have a ton of depth. So do I think that they needed to build more depth? Yes. And I think Bielema can slide down this list quite a bit if he doesn't get things back to that what we saw in 2022. But I think you got to give him the benefit of the doubt, right? He took over an Illinois program that was reeling. And it honestly has not been very good since, you know, the Ron Zook years. Like, really has not been very, very good. And so I think you got to give Bielema the benefit of the doubt. He's a really good head coach. If you look at his Arkansas tenure, that also was not terrible. His first year and his last year were not great. But, like, he was... And, you know, he was kind of in a similar situation where you've got Alabama, LSU, Auburn, that death division of the West, and he was doing okay. You know, it wasn't great, but he was doing okay. And I think you got to give him some benefit of the doubt there. So, number 7, he has Matt Rhule, or not Matt Rhule, Jed Fish at Washington. Which I just don't think you can. I don't know how you can have him that high with one good year at Arizona. So I have Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule, you know, proven program builder. And I think you're seeing the makings of it in Nebraska right now. I know he's only been in the Big Ten 1 year. So I know you might say, well, Zach, what the heck? What are you saying? But look at what he's done in other, like at Baylor, which was a power conference. What he did at Temple. he has taken bad programs or programs in disarray, and he has made wonderful things with them. So I think that's coming. And I think you can say, based on his track record, that he can be up this high. At six, we agree. He has Luke Fickell. I have Luke Fickell at Wisconsin. You know, I think you got to give him credit for making the playoff with Cincinnati. I just think that was, you know, to do that was a big deal. And I think Fickell will get it figured out at Wisconsin. You know, again, I think there's room for him to elevate. I think there's room for him to fall. But right now, I think he is in the top third of the Big Ten in terms of current head coaches with what he's proven. Certainly guys can rise above him. But I think if he continues to progress and build Wisconsin the way he wants to build it, I think he might rise up above some of the other guys that I have on this list. Number five, we disagree a little bit. And again, it's based on tenure and resume. So number five, he has Kirk Ferentz at Iowa. I have Dan Lanning at Oregon. Now, before Oregon fans get upset at me and be like, how could you put Dan Lanning at number five? I think Dan Lanning is arguably the hottest coach in the conference. Like, I think it's very possible they win the Big Ten this year. I think he's got a roster that can win a national championship. I think he's going to beat Ohio State and Autzen. I think they win the Big Ten this year. Or at least are in the Big Ten championship game. I need to think through who I think. They're my early favorite, I think. Them and Penn State are my two early favorites right now in the Big Ten. But he's done 2 years at Oregon, and he has not won a Pac-12 championship. Like, he's building them into, I think, a Death Star. But with all that talent and him upgrading the trenches and doing all this stuff, they've fallen short twice. And, you know, they were the favorite in the Pac-12 championship game this year. And they would. And, Washington was great. You know, I'm not taking anything away from Washington. But that's why I have him at five and not higher. Because he has not, you know, he had a program that was good enough to make the playoff. And he missed it. So I've got him at five. I think he easily is a top two coach by the end of the season. I'm just saying right now I've got him at five. Four, we agree, James Franklin at Penn State. Josh Pate, who I know some people love, some people don't love. I think Josh Pate makes a really good point with James Franklin. Everybody says he's overrated, but what does he do? He wins the games that he's favored in. He loses the games that he's not favored in. He is appropriately rated. He's not overrated. Now, I've made the argument that he should be fired from Penn State. But that is if Penn State wants to be more than what they've been, which is to be on the same level as Ohio State and Michigan. I think if Penn State wants to stay at the level they are, I think they are very good. Like, Penn State constantly is a very, very good football team. They are consistently in the Big Ten race. They have been very close to beating Ohio State and Michigan. Like, if you look at the past few years, they've been a possession away in most games. So you're talking about, I mean, you're talking about a team that has really been a possession or two away from being in the Big Ten championship game for several years. They've won a Big Ten title under James Franklin, right? They beat Ohio State in that great game in 2016. They went on to win the Big Ten, got to a Rose Bowl. They got to another Rose Bowl just a couple years ago, beat Utah in it. And I think they are continuing to do things that are going to help them compete in the 12 and now 14 team playoff era. So I just don't think you can knock James Franklin like he's won a conference championship game. He has beaten Ohio State. He has beaten Michigan. Not recently, but he has done that. And I don't think you can ignore that. So I think Penn State's in actually for a really good year this year. I have him at 4. Number 3, he has Dan Lanning, which I totally respect. I totally respect Dan Lanning there. I've got Kirk Ferentz. I have been after Kirk Ferentz to fire his son for a couple years now. Didn't like the decisions he's making. I don't like how kind of fixed in his ways he is. But what Kirk Ferentz has done at Iowa, what he has done at Iowa over the past 25 years is what all coaches should aspire to that are not at premier blue blood programs. Like, again, context matters. Iowa is consistently in the mix, despite the fact that they are in a place where it's hard for them to recruit. It's hard for them, you know, to play offense, right? And part of that's coaching, right? That's not an excuse for him. But the reality is, you look at his tenure at Iowa, he's won Big Ten championship games, or Big Ten championships, not Big Ten championship games. He has beaten the big programs several times. You know, you look at his resume. You know, he's been the head coach at Iowa since 1999. So this is year 25. 208-139. He's won two Big Ten championships, 3 Big Ten West Division championships. And if you look at what he has done over the years in terms of record, even the past, you know, several years, which, by the way, he's been criticized quite a bit. He has won at least 8 games from 2013 to 2023 every year except two. 2014, they went 7-6, and then 2020, which nobody really won 8 games except Alabama because they won the championship game, but they went 6-2. And you look at the past 5 years, you know, in 2022, they were unranked. But besides that, they were 15th, 15th, 23rd, 22nd, right? He just wins. And he wins despite the fact, like in spite of how bad his offense is sometimes. He's a great football coach. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And while I don't think he has made the wisest decisions over the past few years, in terms of the scope of his coaching legacy and resume, you've got to give him his flowers. So I think Kirk Ferentz is a top 3 head coach. Again, I think that can change, but I don't think you can say that anyone else has done what he's done. And so I give him the nod until someone takes it from him. So number 2 and number 1 were agreed. He's got Lincoln Riley at number 2 and Ryan Day at number 1. I have Lincoln Riley and Ryan Day 2-1 as well. You know, Lincoln Riley has made a couple playoffs, won the Big 12 a couple years, and, you know, has not won the Pac-12 yet, was in a Pac-12 championship game. But I do think, you know, I think it's coming. Well, no, it's not coming. He's not in the Pac-12 anymore. He's in the Big Ten. I think USC is going to be a player in the conference. I don't know. I think this year it'll be interesting to see what Danton Lynn does with that defense. Because I think if they get the defense shored up, I think they can certainly compete. I just think the schedule is insane for USC this year. And then Ryan Day, you know, Ryan Day is... I have not thought he was the best coach. It's hard because Jim Harbaugh is gone, right? Kalen DeBoer is gone. Like, I think if those guys were in here, I think Ryan Day would actually be a couple notches below. But you have to give Ryan Day a lot of credit. He has made three playoffs, right? He got to a national championship game. He won a playoff game. He has two Big Ten championship games. And the only team he's lost to in the Big Ten in his tenure is Michigan. He's lost three times to Michigan. That's it. And like that, it's not like the Michigan team has been a scrub. One won a national championship. One probably should have beat TCU and gotten to the national championship game. And the other one made the playoff, right? So, it's, you know, as much as I am an Ohio State fan and demand that they win and beat they beat Michigan, I'm like, come on. If that's all he's lost to, and he's made three playoffs, he's won two Big Ten championship games, and he's primed to make a run this year too. So those are my thoughts on the Big Ten report. Really, you know, College Football Report. If you're listening to this, I promise I got nothing but love for you. I just don't agree with your coaching rankings. But that being said, thank you for putting them out. Gave some good fodder. What do you guys think? What do you guys think about my rankings? Do you agree, disagree? I'll put it in the notes of the episode, what I've got. But let us know what you think. Send me emails. Again, catch us on the Big Ten Huddle. I believe it is now called the College Huddle. But join us there Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Thanks for listening. Take care. God bless.